Now, we've been talking and on a theme called no evidence. And it's something that the Holy Spirit spoke very strongly in my heart in a time when I was praying and believing God for something, and he began to speak those words in my heart. I heard him very clearly. He kept resounding in my heart saying, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. And again, as I said, it was something I was believing God for, and it began to show me that those words. I began to think about accounts in Scripture where that theme is supported. And so as I've shared in some past messages, that one of the areas where no evidence is evident is in a new birth. And so we were, as far as the Scriptures were concerned, we had sin charged to our account. But what happened? Jesus took those, and we've been sharing in 2 Corinthians 5, 21, this divine exchange that took place where Jesus took, said he was made sin for us who knew no sin. So he didn't know sin. He didn't have sin. He wasn't unrighteous. And he took our sin, our unrighteousness, and we, so that in the Scripture says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So this divine exchange, this exchange took place where he took what we were accountable for, sin, and he took that so that we might become like him, righteous. And so when did that happen? When we accepted Jesus as our Savior, and we said with our mouth that he was raised from the dead. The reason is that when he was raised from the dead, in Romans chapter 4, I believe it's in verse 25, it says that when sin was paid for, that he was released from hell. I believe that's the Young's literal translation. Says, in the King James, it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. But the Young's literal translation, it says it a little bit different, and it shares it in the light that I think is more accurate. It's literal. And it says that he was released when sin was paid for. So we actually, when we confess him as our Savior, and we say that he was raised from the dead, we're basically and saying with our mouth, we're believing not only was he raised from the dead, but when we say that, it's saying that our sins were paid for. Come and live in me. And so this, as we've shared, this divine exchange took place, and he was a ransom for us, for all mankind. And we were sharing this past Sunday on the blood of Jesus and a familiar scripture verse in Ephesians 1:7. It says, in whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. So we've been redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have redemption through his blood. And we've been redeemed. What does Galatians 3:13 say? We've been redeemed, and it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made what? A curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he took our sin. He was cursed and became sin. And so when sin was paid for, he was released from the shackles that bound him, and he was raised by the power of God from the very pits of hell. And of course, the scripture in Revelation says he has the power over death and hell. Glory to God. So Christ redeemed us with what? His blood, his shed blood. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so the scriptures that we've been looking at in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says what? We are to walk by faith, or conduct your lives by faith. Some of the translations say, you know, the path we walk is charted by faith. In other words, we live our lives by faith. In Hebrews 11:1, which we've looked at, I'm just going back through some scriptures, reminding ourselves, thinking about them, talking about them. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. The only evidence you need of things not seen, things you don't have yet that you desire and you believe you receive, the only evidence you need is your faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means things expected. So my faith, when it's released, expects something. It's the substance of things hoped for or expected. It's the evidence of something not seen. So faith is, as the Amplified said, it's the deed or title deed of something that you don't have yet. Glory to God. Just like in a home or a house or something that you own, it could be a car, it could be a house, could be some asset you have. The title deed for that is proof that you own it. So what is that saying? Faith is the proof. When we talk about evidence, you want to have proof of something. You know, in a court of law, they want proof or evidence that something happened. And so they bring in witnesses to substantiate something and to prove that what they're charging is so. And so the same thing, there's proof. It could be, like we were sharing Sunday, could be a medical doctor, could be someone who's trying to look for or substantiate proof of maybe some symptom or something you're, you know, saying you have, or you have a pain or something. They're trying to prove that or substantiate it. And so they try to prove that. Well, what is the proof or the evidence or the title deed of something we desire or something not seen? It's your faith. And so one of the things, you know, we've looked at 2 Corinthians 4:13. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So from the scriptures, faith is going to be released through how? Our words. Faith without action, or faith without speaking, faith without releasing your words, is just believing. And believing really is action. That's what years ago Smith Wigglesworth would say in his books and things he would write. Faith is an act, A-C-T. Faith is an act. Faith is an action. And or in just what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, I believed and therefore I speak. Glory to God. So one of the things that I just feel impressed to do, we gave out this little mini book this past Sunday and the Sunday before, and it's a little mini book which I believe is very insightful. It's called How to Write Your Own Ticket with God, by Kenneth E. Hagin. And in this book or booklet, he talks about a vision that he had, and the Lord appeared to him in a spiritual vision in 1953. And he said, in that spiritual vision, Jesus said to him, I'm going to give you four steps. And he said, write down these four steps. And he said to him, this is what he said to him in this vision. He said, if anybody, anywhere, will take these four steps, or put these four principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. I'm going to say that again because we need to not gloss over this. He said, if anybody, anywhere, will take these four steps or put these four principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. So these four steps can be put, as he writes in his book, he said, these four steps can be put into operation immediately to receive anything such as salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, healing for your body, spiritual victory, finances. He said, anything the Bible promises you now, you can receive now by taking these four steps or by acting upon these four steps. Now, he said some things such as some, he didn't say all, he said some financial needs or the manifestation of healing, some healings, may take time to develop or to manifest. So whatever these steps, whatever they are, whether they're steps taken immediately or principles that are practiced over time, you can have what you say. And I know there's many here that are watching this evening that have experienced this. I've experienced this through my life. I've experienced it where I've operated it and received, and there's times where I wondered why things weren't functioning, and the Holy Spirit would say, you need to act upon this. You need to do this. So we are going to receive according to our faith. And so the first step in this, they're very simple steps. And we're going to highlight one account, and we may highlight a few others. But I'm going to start with the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. And we're going to just read a few of these verses and then go back and highlight the steps, because this is what Brother Hagin did in this vision. He said, Lord, you're going to have to show me these four steps in the scripture. And he said, Jesus smiled at him and he said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And he began to show him in two, three, four, five accounts in the scripture where these steps were evident. And so here in the with the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 25, and we're going to read to verse 34, and we're going to highlight these steps. So you may want to write these down or take a note. If you're using an iPad, just take these notes. And it said, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but what? She grew worse. So here you have a person who, for all intents and purposes, things weren't going too good. And it looked like things were just going downhill. And so she had every right to have, you know, just to think, well, nothing's getting better and things are just getting worse. Things aren't looking too good. But what does verse 27 say? What turned this around? When she had heard of Jesus, so she heard something from someone about Jesus, came in the press behind and did what? And touched his garment. Verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She didn't say, maybe I will. She said, I shall be whole. So there's something that switched her thinking that changed her thinking from she's spent all her money, she's gone all of these physicians for 12 years and didn't get, she's spent all her money and she's not getting any better. It says she grew worse. And all of a sudden, she heard something about Jesus, that he's healing people, healing all those that came to him. And she said, if I may touch, and some of the other translations, I think the New Living and the Amplified, they say, she kept saying, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she, and it says in verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now you notice here, he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Isn't it been a good opportunity for him to say, the power of God made thee whole? No, we know that the power of God was involved, but what activated the power of God? The power of God was present to heal. We can see that in Luke, I believe in chapter 17, when it talks about that the power of God was present to heal. And at that point, you can see here the same thing. The power of God was present to heal, but what activated the power of God? Her faith. It's when he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, one of the things that also that Jesus said in this vision to Brother Hagin, he said, positive or negative, I'm quoting what he said in this book that Jesus said, positive or negative, it is up to the individual. According to what the individual says, that shall he receive. This is Jesus speaking. So if you're defeated, you are defeated with your own lips. You have defeated yourself. So yes, maybe the devil got involved in that, but you're opening the door and letting him come in to heap on all of the stuff that steals, kills, and destroys by your own lips. And you can shut that door with your lips also. Proverbs 6, verse 2, it says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So you're snared and you're taken how? With the words of your mouth. Proverbs 18, verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we can change things. We can receive things that are promised from us by our words, by the words that we speak. And obviously, faith can be in the negative or the positive, in the sense of you can release faith for bad things and open the door, or you could release life-filled words and you'll have what you say. So the second step in this, so the first step is to say it. And the second step is to do it. And This, again, I'm quoting from this little mini book, Jesus said to Brother Hagin in this vision, your action defeats you or puts you over. According to your action, you receive or you are kept from receiving. So this woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5 was regarded in the same category as a leper. She was not to mix in public settings. She was considered unclean because she had an issue of blood. She was considered unclean. So this woman's action displayed her faith. What did she say? If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she was going to get her healing regardless of the religious customs and requirements. She said, I'm going to get it. She heard something that Jesus was offering, that he healed people that came to him. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes. Well, that means she could have said that, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. But if she did not get up and go to where he was, she would have never received. So there had to be action to her faith words. She had to get up and do something. And this is what we're saying. But if she didn't act upon it, she wouldn't have received. And step three, these are very simple steps. So the first step, what is it? Say it. The second step is do it. And the third step is to receive it. These are four simple steps that Jesus said. He said, if anybody, anywhere, will act upon these four steps, they will receive anything. This is what he said. I'm going to read it again. If anybody, anywhere, will take these four steps and put these four principles into operation, he will always, always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. So the third step, receive it. Mark 5, verse 29, in this account of the woman with the issue of blood, it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus said, he said, what did he say? He said, virtue or power has gone out of me. And in that we see here, he said in verse 30, he said, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? So this woman, notice here in the scripture that the feeling, because that's what it said, she felt in her body that she had been healed of that plague, but the feeling and the healing followed the coming. She had to come to him. And the doing. She had to get up and do something. So this woman with the issue of blood first said it. What did she do? And second, she came for it. Then she what? Then she received and felt in her body that she was healed. So the power of God, this is what Jesus also said to Brother Hagin in this vision. He said the power of God is always present everywhere. The power of God is present everywhere. Why? Because his Holy Spirit is present everywhere. And where the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, where he is present, the power of God is present. And he is present everywhere. The scriptures, one of the scriptures in Jeremiah 24, it says, can any hide himself in secret places that I cannot see him or shall not see him, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. So God's Spirit is present everywhere, in every place. So that means the power of God is present everywhere in every place. Well, we know that has to be true because the scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that means anybody, anywhere, any place can call upon the name of the Lord, that means the power of God is present to save. Well, if the power of God is present to save, then the power of God is present to heal. The power of God is present to deliver. The power of God is present to respond to what? Our faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. So the power of God, as Jesus said to Brother Hagin, the power of God is always present everywhere. So if the power of God is present everywhere, then the question is, why isn't everybody healed? Why isn't everybody saved? Why isn't everybody delivered? It was this woman's faith that caused the power to flow out of Jesus to her. Faith activates the power of God. Faith is like the switch that activates the power of God. God is not going to do something about whatever that we need. He's already done everything that he's going to do. What does the scripture say? In whom we have redemption. Let's go back and look at that again. Jesus went to the cross to redeem mankind's spirit, soul, and body. And so everything has been done. All the price has been paid. All we have to do is reach out and receive and activate that with our faith. And the power of God is activated. You know, you think about this, just think of a simple example. You've got a missile or you've got this big rocket sitting on a launch pad. It's full of all of the fuel to get it up out of Earth's atmosphere and into, you know, whatever height they want to take it to or whatever planet they want to take it to. It's got all the fuel present to do that, to get it out of Earth's gravity. But that fuel will do nothing and help will not help unless what? A switch is activated to what? Ignite the fuel. And so the same thing, our faith is like that switch that ignites the power of God in us. Glory to God. And activate the power of God. So this woman, let's look at the three steps. First step is say it. Second step is do it. The third step is what? Receive it. So the saying and the doing comes before the receiving. Hallelujah. And so the fourth step is tell it. And this fourth step, when we look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 33. Mark chapter 5 and verse 33, it says, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and did what? She fell down before him," Jesus, "and did what? Told him all the truth." And that's when he went on to say, "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." So this woman who fell down and told him all the truth, not only did Jesus hear it, but the whole crowd heard her. So this is what Jesus said to Brother Hagin in this vision. He said, you need to tell it so others may believe. How are they going to hear unless you say something? You got to tell it. This is how I was healed. I believed in him. My faith in him caused the power of God to be activated in my life. So what I wanted to do is look at one account, just in the last few minutes we have, is to look at 1 Samuel, and this was one account, the first account that Jesus said, the second. First he said, the woman with the issue of blood, but then let's look at David and Goliath. Let's look at this account in 1 Samuel. And here we have this champion named Goliath, and he's coming out, and it says here he was 6 cubits and a span. It's like almost, it says 9 3/4 feet. So he was a big guy. And so he was taunting the Israelites. And it said he presented him 40 days. And so here he's taunting him. But what happened was, you can see here, when we look at these four steps of saying it, doing it, receiving it, and telling it, you find here, starting in verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17, five times David said, he said, he said, he said. Verse 32, it says, "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" So this is the first time he releases his words. In what? In faith. And then in verse 34, he says, "And David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock.'" And what does it say? And "I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." And then he goes on to say that "thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." So he's releasing his faith with his words, saying something. Verse 37, David said, so this is the third time he said something, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me," so now he's releasing faith, "the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear." And he said, "He will" what? "He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." So that's the third time he said something. And then verse 39, "And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul," this is the fourth time he said something, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And the Lord put them," and David put them off of him. And then verse 45, David said again, Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." You know, it reminds me, these principles, you've got to say something. Your faith must be released in words. Your faith speaks. And so here, he said five times, "David said, David said, David said, David said." And so what happened? He said those five times he spoke something and said something before he did. So now here, this is step two. Do it. In verse 48 in 1 Samuel 17, it said, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came," so now Philistine's moving towards him, "came and did" what? "Drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." So now he did something. So now remember what we said before. The woman with the issue of blood, she said it and she did something before she received. So her saying and her doing activated the power of God. So here, what did David do? David said five times. He then ran towards the Philistine. So his action displayed his faith. And what happened? It activated the power of God. So what happened? Verse 49, "And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone," and what does it say? "And he slang it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And it goes on and talks about how he cut the head off of the Philistine Goliath. So we see here that the power of God was activated. So we know that this stone that was released in his sling was supernaturally went after the Philistine, hit him in the head, dropped him like a rock, killed him or dropped him and killed him. And we went on. And then what is the fourth step here? It says to tell it. So what happened? If you go over to chapter 18, there was, it said here, and it came to pass, verse 6 in chapter 18. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and joy and with instruments of music. Now look at verse 7. It says, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So what David did, he told what he was going to do. He said it. And what? He ran towards the Goliath, supernaturally brought him down with a stone and a sling, And then what happened? It was told abroad. I mean, even today, you go into society today and you get one little guy against a big guy. What do? They even, the sinners talk about, that's a David and Goliath situation. But for us, what Jesus told Brother Hagin, this is what he said. I'm going to read it again. He said, if anybody, anywhere, will take these four steps, if anybody, anywhere, will take these four steps or put these four principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. So faith must be released in words. We have to speak our faith. And those things that are promised us in heaven. This is why, you know, I'll just close with this scripture. There's so much we could dwell upon here. But for the sake of time, this is why it's so important when you think about not only these four steps, say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. But when you look at Matthew 18:18, and it says, what things soever you what? You bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What things soever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And that particular scripture blesses me because in the Amplified, it says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be. So in other words, Jesus speaking here, we've been authorized to declare something improper and unlawful on earth, but what's the catch? It must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So when we look at this, this is why it's so important that we have been authorized, we've been given authority to do what? Declare things improper and unlawful. So anything that is stealing and killing and to destroy, you as an individual, your family, your finances, your peace, if anything comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, just like that giant, you are commanding it to be removed and be cast into the sea and not to return. And what does it say? We are to doubt not, but believe that those things that we say shall come to pass. And if we do, it says we shall receive them, we'll have them. This is exactly what the woman with the issue of blood did. This is the same thing that David did where Goliath was concerned. He said, I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear. He said, and the Lord is going to do the same thing with this uncircumcised Philistine. So we need to ignite or stir up or activate this power that resides in us. We have the power of God residing in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. That means the power of God is present to heal. The power of God is present to deliver. So things that have been bothering you, whatever they may be, could be worry, it could be, you know, something that you're walking through or dealing with, you need to rise up and do what? These four steps say you need to say it. You need to say, God has healed me. I am delivered from the power of darkness, and I'm translated into the kingdom of his Son. Greater is he that is in me. I will do such and such. I will walk, or I will talk, or I will see. And I command this pain, I command this disease to be removed and cast into the sea. And what did Jesus say? That if you will operate these four steps or principles, that you will receive anything, anywhere, if you'll act upon these and act these four steps. So I would just encourage anyone watching this evening or watching, you know, in the future, take these four steps and also get this little mini book if you can and read it and feed upon it, because there's some things we just need to be just, I don't know what other way to say it, but just, you know, just like a dog, just say, I'm going to grip this thing and not let it go, you know, just like some dogs just grip onto something, they're not letting go. That I'm not going to let go of the promises of God. I'm going to have everything that God promised me. Why? Because he shed his blood for me. So those things that he's paid for, whether they're physical, financial, peace, mental, you take hold of those. And don't let go until you receive it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this word that we've received. Thank you for stirring our hearts to take hold and release our faith in the promises of God and activate the power of God for those things that we desire. And we thank you for them. We believe we receive them in the name of Jesus. Now, I would just say this evening, if there's anybody out there watching and there's something that you're trusting and believing God for, release your faith now in the name of Jesus. And you say, I take that now by faith and I will have this. I will walk in this. I will walk in the blessings of God and the prosperity of God. Begin to just declare, my bank account is full and running over. It may be empty. But you decree that my bank account is full. I will have this. My body functions normally. I command, when we talk about no evidence, there has to be, since Jesus shed his blood to remove all evidence of sin and sickness, then I have a right at this point to decree that every trace and every evidence of sin and sickness is removed from me. And I command every trace or evidence of sickness in my body to be removed and cast into the sea. And you begin to release your words and you say it until you see it. Because what does it say? The saying and the doing comes before the feeling and the having, and the receiving. So you reach out this evening and take that which you're believing God for, that which maybe you're walking through. in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And just before we close, if you're watching this evening and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, he's already done the work. There's nothing more that can be done. He's done everything that can be done. He shed his own blood, and it's been deposited in the heavenly holy of holies. And so that blood is an eternal reminder, an eternal representation in the heavenlies of what's been done on the behalf of all mankind. So this sacrifice has already been done. It says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So all we have to do is do what? Release our faith. Say something. Believe in our heart and say with our mouth and act upon it. So we are to do what? Say with our mouth, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. It says you'll be saved. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, that you sent him here to die for all mankind. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I believe that. And now I confess with thy mouth that you raised him from the dead when sin was paid for. Now I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I ask you to make something new of me. Cleanse me with your precious blood. And I say with my mouth now that I am saved. Now, if you said that simple confession of faith, then you are born again. You are redeemed. You're saved in the name of Jesus. And so if you did that, let us know. You can contact us by that information on the screen. You can either email us or mail us or call us by phone and let us know. We'll send you some free information. Praise God. Glory to God. I rejoice in Jesus' name for those that have come to know Jesus.